Hello and welcome to the Dadcast. My name is Matt.
My name's Paul.
And we are both dads, gamers, and tech lovers.
And content creators.
And don't forget content creators. This is our podcast and we hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned, tune into future episodes, and we hope that you enjoy the chill out with us. And of course, we like to enjoy
a good old fashioned drinky poo.
A good old fashioned drinky poo. So we will always introduce a new drink each week or each episode. So stay tuned, tune in, have fun, chill out, and de-stress as a parent, a dad, a gamer, and a tech lover.
Enjoy it.
Peace.
Love you.
Hello and welcome to the Dadcast. I don't know what episode it is. What episode are we, Paul?
I haven't got a clue. Hello, everyone.
We should really plan our podcast better, shouldn't we?
I'm sure we're episode 6.
I want to say we're 7, so let's see who's right. This is the episode start of the six, podcast. The dare is we're streaking. Whoever gets this wrong is streaking up the neighbourhood. It is episode 7!
Is it?
Yeah. Episode 6 was Japanese flavours.
Oh, okay.
So we are in 7.
Yes, we are on 7.
Naked for Paul, then.
That's it. I'm running home naked.
Nice. I mean, and you live further away now, so there's more chance for people to see your penis.
They're never going to see that.
Well, it is cold.
Not in this weather.
It is a bit cold tonight, so we'll let you off. We are on episode 7 of season 3. Welcome back, everyone. It is good to have you here. Welcome to everyone in Belgium and Taiwan.
Yep.
Our two biggest communities.
Hello, and I believe it's Ni Hao.
Ni Hao. You have researched it?
I have tried to research this, yes.
I'm guessing that's not Belgium, though.
No, that is hello. Belgium says hello, sure.
Hello?
Hello.
Just with an accent.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do that one for next time.
Yeah.
So there we go. Welcome back, everyone. We are going to be covering a few topics tonight. And we, of course, are going to be starting off with our favourite topic, which is...
Beer!
Drink of the week. Not necessarily beer, but it is beer. It is beer this week. I kind of gave it away earlier.
Yeah, drink of the week. We're
I did. I've got some nice beers for tonight and gave it away straight away. So it's nothing exotic, or is it?
Ooh.
Or is it? I found this one, and this is the wildest beer we've had to date.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm excited.
Is it going to top me on the strength calendar?
No.
Or chart?
No. Nothing beats you on the strength. You are Mr. Strong.
Okay.
I am Mr. Snazzy.
I was gonna say, because if it does, then next week you're gonna pay for it.
Yes. No. This isn't super strong, but it is very strange.
Okay.
I'm
intrigued.
Yeah.
Do we have like a little teaser blurb?
Okay. Teaser blurb.
Blurb. Right, I love that word.
Don't look.
I'll close my eyes.
Right, close your eyes. Close
your
eyes.
For everyone at home, I've covered my face.
It's also a very hard can to read. Okay, so let me just try and find the blurb that I read in the shop. This is going to give it away, though. Okay,
ad-lib.
Here we
go. You'll be fine.
Rainbow Sherbet Sour takes you on an intriguing journey through sweet and sour, raspberry puree, lemon zest, and the kettle sour base, combined to deliver a sharp tang which is nicely balanced by a sweet, satisfying body, best enjoyed with fruity sour lace sweets from your childhood. Does that sound like a beer?
No.
No, it does
that
not.
That sounds like a flavour of Sneak Energy.
Yeah, it does.
But Sneak Royalty 15.
But I assure you that is a beer. So there is your teaser.
Yeah, that. I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
My immediate assumption is it is going to taste like fizzy. Well, yes. I was going to be more polite and say fizzy fruit salads.
Fizzy beer? Fizzy, sweet beer? This is going to be good or horrendous.
Yeah.
There are two options here. There's no middle
ground. Toss the coin, roll the dice, let's go.
It's a roll the dice. Right, so here we go.
I'm glad you bought cups because it sounds like it's going to be gassy.
Yeah, here is the can.
Oh, wow. That is... A can.
And as always, we'll put a picture of this in our
anyone
stories.
Who grew up in the early 90s who will remember those flat rainbow laces that are covered in sugar.
We still have the kids. Yeah. The kids still love them. Yeah,
that is basically what the can looks like.
And it's called Guaylo. This is Rainbow Sherbet Sour Guaylo beer.
Nostalgically redefining. That's a 4.5 statement.
So it's not super light.
No. So
but
where
4.5?
Where did you stumble upon such cans?
Asda.
Asda. See, that's surprising. I thought you were going to say like Audi or Lidl.
That's an Asda beer.
Your shop on the corner.
Yep. No, that is an Asda beer. 4.5, and it is malted barley, wheat oaks,
stuff. It's got some sort of Japanese or Chinese characters on it.
It is Oriental inspiration.
Cantonese. Guaylo. Oh, here we go.
Cantonese beer.
Guaylo, Cantonese term meaning ghost chap. Cantonese slang term used to describe foreign settlers in Canton in the 16th century.
Affectionate slang term used to describe foreigners in Hong Kong, or an exceptional craft beer born in Hong Kong, brewed with talent, expertise, and above all, modesty.
So what I love about their language is it can either mean you're a dirty foreigner or this is an excellent beer.
I think it was dirty foreigner, if I'm honest with you. You brought in the rainbow.
Yeah. So you're a ghost chap foreigner, or you're a lovely beer brewed in Hong Kong.
It sounds like a party to me.
Let's go.
So there we go. So First is the smell test. Oh, wow, sweet.
Damn, that's sweet.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I've never had, well, apart from a Belgium cherry beer, I've never really had a sweet beer. So this is...
I mean, it's coming out with a nice amber hue.
It looks like a cloudy...
I was expecting it to be like radioactive pink.
It looks like a cloudy IPA. It's got a bit of a head on it. It's a bit lively.
It's a nice head. We all like a bit of nice head.
Mm-hmm. It's not quite a pint, but the smells are really coming at me. I'm a good 20 centimetres away from my glass. Wow, I'm getting blackcurrant.
I mean, I'm sure it's that close to the microphone that you can probably smell it at home through your car radio.
I'm getting a lot of blackcurrant with that. So here we go. This I'm very intrigued by this. I'm not going to lie. This could either be a new secret favourite.
Beer foam. That's like marshmallow foam.
Yeah. Sweet foam. The foam is sweet. Blackcurrant, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this again is either going to be really bad or really good.
Okay, let's go.
But here we go. Chin chin.
3, 2, 1, chug.
Oh, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to make of it.
It's different.
I don't think I can have many of them.
No, it is refreshing.
Maybe it's got to be colder.
Maybe it's got to be colder, yeah.
It's got a sweet initial taste.
Mm.
With a real bitter...
It goes very bitter very quick.
Real bitter tang after you've swallowed it.
Mm.
It's got a lovely nose to it, though. It's very much blackcurrant.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a hard pint to get through.
And it's like it's like a sour orangeade. The foam is so thick. I don't understand it.
I know. That's probably the radioactiveness.
I've never seen bubbles that thick on beer before.
It's not going, is it?
Right. Just slight intermission while I take pictures of this.
So that is a very unusual beer. I'll take a picture of the can and put that on Instagram as usual. You can buy that from Asda and they are £3 a tin or three for eight, I think it was, something like that.
It's not too bad.
Four for three? Four for three, that was it. It was four beers for the price of three. Thank you, wife. Eavesdropping on the podcast. That is different. I think that is the word of this evening for that beer.
All right. That I've got photos. We will definitely be putting a picture of that on the Dadcast stories.
That is a very cool can, though. But Guelo Rainbow Sherbet Sour is a mixed result. Out of 10, I'm going to give that a 6.
Yeah, I was going to say 5, but...
It's mid-table.
Yeah.
That's an acquired taste.
It has a shock factor of 12.
Yes. It's novelty factor up there, shock factor up there, taste factor, repeat wanting to drink it factor.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think if you'd had a few.
4.
And then you had one of those, you'd be like, ha, this is fun. It'd be gone in seconds.
And then you'd never drink it again.
No.
That's like a bad KFC.
Yeah. You're never going back.
You think you want it, but then once you've had it, you don't need it for a few more months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bubbles have subsided.
They're trying to. We'll try and get through this by the end of the podcast, but I'm not betting my odds on that.
No. It's very it is very cloudy.
That is a very interesting beer. I feel like I've really pushed the boat out with uniqueness this week. So what does that leave us?
That's the end of the podcast now. We're done.
That's it. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Right. What are we talking about this week?
We've got a few topics.
We have got quite the topics to get through.
Why don't we start off with Lego?
Okay, let's talk Lego.
You've been doing some Lego this week. So you've been doing about 17 reels of your build of your McLaren?
I've done 4 reels.
4 reels, okay.
I managed to condense it into 4 reels. Because there's 4 bags. I thought I can do a bag each.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the McLaren F1, the 2022
it's
model.
Nice.
It's very nice. It's big.
And you just finished it?
Just finished it Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday, one of the two.
I notice it pulls to the left just a tad.
Yeah, I don't think the wheels were quite straight.
Yeah. You don't do alignment, though, do
or
you?
That could just be the warp in my new floor.
That is true. That is true.
It could be either. But, yeah, no, it took... I'd say, with filming, which obviously takes a little bit extra because camera positioning and stuff, it probably took about 4 hours. It's about an hour back.
That's a nice period. What do you think blokes like Lego so much?
Just reminds us of being a kid and we like building stuff.
Do you think it's also because it's slightly mind-numbing?
It is, but I found it quite technical.
Lego is technical, isn't it?
But like, there are bits where you have to kind of think about what you're doing and really like the pictures are, I mean, they're better than IKEA pictures.
Yeah.
But there are points where you're looking at it and it's got a picture of the car in the like instruction manual, and it's got the little bit you've just assembled, and it's like, right, put it on this side of the car, but it's pointing to the opposite side of the car where you're looking.
Yeah.
And you're sort of going, where on earth is that supposed to connect to? Because I can't see that from this side.
I know normal Lego have this, but that's obviously almost that's Technics Lego, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do they not have the app where you can have the 3D and spin it around on your iPad sort of thing?
Oh, I have no idea.
Because I use that. Yeah, I use it all the time. So when we do the kids stuff and the Harry Potter stuff, we load it up on the iPad, and then you can basically use your finger and hold it and rotate everything around.
So you can see it all.
So you can see it from all angles and upside down. Because the thing is, you can subtly get one brick across wrong, and then it throws out the next six moves. Mm. Like when we built the girls' treehouse, I let Daisy do a bit of building on her own for a while and had to go back through and redo it all because you've only got to go one brick wrong.
And it ruins the whole thing.
And it ruins the whole thing. So having the 3D thing where you can spin it around and kind of look at it from a different perspective, the books are hard.
Yeah.
The harder the build, the books don't cover it. Like you said, they give you the wrong perspective.
Yeah, they do give you the wrong perspective to a point. And I think having that, if I'd have known that was available, it might have made it a bit easier.
Mm.
The problem I found mostly is because I'm a buffoon, I just open the bag and just
pour it all out.
Yeah, and then there was one bit, it's one of the side pods I was doing, and it took me ages, and I was like, I cannot get it right. Like, I'm doing it right, and I took it apart, rebuilt it, and after rebuilding it for the third time, I then realised I'd started with the wrong brick.
Yeah.
Because it was like a long flat brick.
Yeah.
Like a rectangle shape with loads of holes in it. And
this is a similar
one. Needed the longer one. Yeah. The one I was using had like three less holes.
Yeah. It makes a big difference. And the thing is, with Lego, you can miss a bit out and still finish the end build. But it's amazing those little bits
to make all the difference.
Have a knock-on effect to the end. You're thinking it just doesn't feel right.
But I tell you, the one thing because this is the second Lego car I've built.
Yeah.
And they are sturdy. Like everything, once it's together and everything sort of interlocks and like fixes together so well that.
Yeah.
They are built very sturdily.
Yeah, I've never had Technics Lego. That is definitely up there. I think one of the ones that I want is the Land Rover Defender.
Yeah.
I really like the look of that one.
Yeah, friend's got that one. It's really good.
And the McLaren supercar.
Yeah, they do the Senna, don't they?
Yeah. But they all look cool, to be honest with you. Yeah. But yeah, Lego is just, it's fun, man.
I love it. The problem I have is it's just pricey.
It's very pricey for what they are. Yeah. You know, I think when you look at the bigger stuff, because we've got a lot of Lego in the house. We've got a lot of the kids' Lego, which is the Lego Friends.
Yeah.
Treehouse and Ski Resort and Miami House.
Yeah, the problem is like because Layla and Emily have that as well. And we've got through all like the cheap stuff.
Yeah.
And now the only thing in the whole set they don't have.
70, 80 quid, 100 quid.
Like that £80 plus houses.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we made a point of kind of the big ones are birthday presents or, you know, accumulation of vouchers and kind of birthday money. And when we went up to Lego in London, Daisy had about 130 quid or something to spend.
Yeah.
And she managed to get one of the big ones. But like you said, you kind of like you spend up to 25 quid for the kids stuff. And then like the big stuff is a lot more. But then we've also got a lot of the Harry Potter stuff. But you kind of run out of space as well. That's the thing with Lego is you run out of space very quickly. And once you start breaking
stuff. You want them to display them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need them in a glass case, really. Mm. But my stuff, the stuff that's in the lounge, the Harry Potter stuff, or the stuff we built together but don't play with, is still in good order.
Yeah.
Like, no bits are missing. No. But you go to the girls' room, and they obviously play with it.
Yeah. So
and then leaves fall
apart. Then they sort of try and... They improve on the design.
They bastardize it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you think, oh, it's, you know, it just looks a bit crap.
You see, like, I get it because growing up, way back when, like, I don't know if you remember, but Sainsbury's, once upon a time, they came out of these big blue plastic crates. They were like the they were like the precursor to reusable shopping bags. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to take these crates and do them.
But what, hard crates?
Yeah, like plastic boxes. And we had, me and my brother had one of those, and it was just brimming
filled
with
Lego.
And it was just a mess.
But those were the days that you would just build whatever's in
your
head.
We'd spend forever just sitting there just building crap. Yeah. Yeah,
I want to build a garage today, or I want to build a hotel, or whatever.
Which is, that is the beauty of having Lego.
Yeah, build what you want.
Yeah, I think as a kid, you're like, cool, I've built that, and I'm going to smash it up, and I'm going to build what I want out of it.
Yeah.
As an adult, you go, I've built that, nobody touch it, it's going
do
on display.
Do not touch it. Yeah. Do not touch it. It's going to gather dust up on my shelf.
Like the McLaren is going on the wall somewhere.
I can't wait for you to wall mount that. Yeah. Like we saw those frames today.
Those frames.
I don't know which company makes it, but like they're quite expensive.
If they're the ones I think they are. I think they're from Italy.
Right.
And so they're expensive to buy, plus you've got to get shipped from Italy.
I reckon you could make those yourself.
Yeah,
I mean, they're probably obviously really nice quality,
I think
glossy.
They're like plexiglass.
Plexiglass ones, and they've got the writing on the brand and the car makes and stuff. But I reckon to a point you could do that yourself.
Yeah, like we said earlier, a bit of MDF.
To the naked eye, taking a shot across your setup.
Bit of Photoshop.
It would look cool.
Yeah.
It would look cool. So yeah, Lego is awesome. You've been doing that over the last week.
Yeah, I will be buying more, I think.
We'll always be buying more. Yeah. Forever. I saw loads of cool Lego, actually. They've released loads more new stuff. And this brings us quite nicely into our next segue. We're talking about TV, I think, next.
Yes.
And one of the things I spotted today, although I've heard rumours, I actually saw a proper post today, that HBO are bringing out a Harry Potter series.
Yes, yeah, I read this last night. I was talking just about it. I'm interested.
Seven series,
and
whatever you want to
call
it.
From what I can sort of deduct from what I've read, is they're basically redoing the whole story, as per the books, and JK's like
involved.
She's fully producing or creative directing the lot.
There's a lot of questions in my head. Firstly, like, are they recasting the main cast?
I think they are, because they're redoing the book from the start, so they can't really have
Daniel Radcliffe
now, when he's trying to be a 12-year-old boy.
It strikes me as very risky.
It's very risky. It's going to be hit or miss. It's swing or bust.
I'm sure they will do it right, because they will know
HBO
the risks.
HBO have done. They've not let us down with a lot of their series.
No, and they will know the risks, and so will J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
So, I think if they recast everyone, Ron, Hermione, the whole lot, and they get it wrong, it's going to go down like a lead balloon.
They'll probably do what they do, a lot of series do lately, is they go, this is our cast, and then they see what the general public think of it, and then all the people online are like, nope, I fucking hate it, or oh, I love it, and then they either stick with it or they redo it.
It's a hard one, isn't it? Because I think no matter what you do, those characters are so ingrained to us now. I think what they should have done, and this might not be fact yet, we don't know.
No.
But maybe what they should have done for me was start a generation before and start with the Marauders do that whole generation. So young Snape, Lily, James Potter, young Dumbledore.
That would have been great.
Kind of Dumbledore when he became a teacher.
Yeah.
A bit more on like the between Fantastic Beasts and the current Harry Potter, maybe somewhere in that era. Or like the game, just go 100 years back.
Yeah, completely
way
fresh
back.
Paper. Yeah.
Completely fresh. Or, same world.
Or they can go into the future.
Or
and then
the
you
future.
Could recast the original cast as maybe lesser roles, and it's either
Mum and Dad.
They're either parents sending their kids to Hogwarts.
Yeah. Well, like the Cursed Child.
Yeah.
So basically like the Cursed Child. So basically carrying on as if they were Harry Potter's kids.
Yeah, yeah. So they could do that.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see how it goes. I think it will be a very interesting...
I'm excited anyway, because I love the franchise.
Yeah.
So, let's kind of touch wood and not hope. Each other's wood. But let's just hope that they do a good job.
I hope they do.
Mandalorian next.
Well,
how far are you?
Off Mandalorian, before we hit Mandalorian.
Okay, before then. Go on then.
Before then. Obviously, last week was Star Wars convention week.
Mm.
This kind of took me by surprise, because... I didn't really know.
No.
As far as I'm in my...
May the 4th,
yeah. Star Wars, yeah. So this whole Star Wars thing that's been going on last week...
Caught me off guard.
Yeah, I was like, what's this? Mm. Why didn't I know about it sooner?
Show that we're not super fans?
I mean, probably does. But I didn't see it advertised anywhere.
No, it just came... First all of a sudden, it was Star Wars Day.
Yeah. At first, I thought it was something in America.
Mm.
When I heard that Jade Bin, and I was like, oh, this is London. This is local.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was loads of people that went up and did cosplay.
Yeah, and I was like, I'd have loved to been up, go up there and see it.
Mm. But well, they would have, but yeah. The option would have been nice.
Yeah, the option. Yeah. Yeah. The thought of being able to, wife, can I please go? No.
No. Okay. Well, I knew about it.
Well, at least I knew about it and I've got something to miss now.
Yeah. That was a weird thing for me. Like, all of a sudden, it was just like, bam, Star Wars Day. But I'm like, is it May already?
Yeah.
That's where my head went.
Yeah. No, I completely appreciate that.
Mm.
But then off the back of that, then they're like, yeah, so we've got 3 new Star Wars films coming out,
mm.
which would be interesting.
Okay. So, I've not read into this too much. Where do they fit?
I have no idea. I've heard something where it's going to be like Grandmaster Rey, so I assume it goes...
End.
Yeah.
It's got to be End, isn't it? It's got to be after the films, the most recent films.
Yeah, yeah. So it's got to be carrying on as someone in the future.
Oh, I hope they do a good job on them.
Then I've also heard... I can't remember if somebody was saying...
Obi-Wan's got to be coming back.
It might have been The Apprentice at work. Or somebody, I'd sworn I've had a conversation with somebody about it. And they were talking about a reboot. And I'm like, nah, surely not.
No.
I was like,
too late for a reboot.
If they do that, they're idiots.
It was too late. It's like 1970s and like all the films and all the series in between. You can't reboot it.
No. I think that's just a load of waffle.
A reboot is basically maybe putting some filler in.
Yeah. But
maybe.
Then if they would like
Mando.
Yeah, they were talking, yeah. Or, but you can't redo A New Hope.
Mm-mm.
Like, New Hope's A New Hope. There's only one film.
Mm. And equally, in my opinion, Star Wars has aged very well.
Yeah.
So even if you look at the latest Mando, Boba Fett, they're almost vintage in the way that they're filmed. Practical effects.
Yeah, they look...
Practical sets.
They look... They fit in perfectly with the aesthetic of every other film.
Those old films don't need redoing because they weren't...
And I'm sure Disney have done some, like, fiddling and touching up and...
Tweaking
and stuff. Because when we watched Return of the Jedi around John's house a couple of months ago, it looked great.
Mm.
I sat there going, how does this film, this old, look so good?
Before I was born.
Yeah, but...
Mental.
I think the thing you have to remember is, like, I think we touched on it then, was they still had 4K cameras then.
Mm-hmm.
We just couldn't have 4K telly then.
Yeah.
So it looks so good now because it was filmed with what we can actually see now.
Yeah. Yeah, the actual medium to watch them is so much better. But yeah, like, those films have aged incredibly well. You don't need to reboot them.
I'm on a massive sort of Star Wars... Because I'm watching Mandalorian. I'm up to date. Finished.
You are up to date?
Up to date today.
How good was the last episode?
No. No, no, no.
It was good.
No, no, no. You're not getting the joke.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. It was really good.
It was so funny.
It was good. It was really good.
I loved it.
The last couple of episodes, in fairness, probably the last three, I've really enjoyed. I think prior to the last three episodes, it was a little slow.
Yeah, see... The one that it sort of took a bit of is a bit of a downward turn, but very, very necessary to the plot was the two prior Imperials.
The Imperials and basically the scientist.
Yeah.
And it kind of went, it's almost like that was a bit rushed.
Yeah.
It went from something else to a whole episode about the Imperial bit.
Yeah, it just kind of went off-piste.
Like, really off-piste. Yeah. And I'm sure it will come back on piste at some point, but it was very jarring.
Now it's starting to show now. And that episode was, it was thrown in, it was very much just thrown in there.
Yeah.
But it was very crucial to where we are with this week's episode.
To set up that full circle.
Yeah. I try not to spoil too much.
We're trying not to be a spoiler here.
No.
But it really good.
I loved it.
It's so good. And there's obviously... There's a bit which prompts the fact that there maybe is something within the community, without giving too much away, that there's going to be a plot twist.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be something that's coming up somewhere.
As well. And I don't know who is going to be that plot twist yet.
No.
So, Mandalorian's brilliant.
I love it so much.
That's
why I keep looking at buying the Lego N1.
I want a helmet.
Well, they did the Mandalorian helmet, didn't they?
I looked yesterday. I'm whispering because the wife's next door. Yeah.
But it's only 60 quid.
No, the official one from Hasbro is 120 quid.
Oh, what, the actual...
Mando.
I'm thinking Lego.
No, Mando helmet. Wear.
Yeah, well, no, because they do a Lego Mando helmet. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know, that's cool as well. But 120 quid for the Mando helmet. I want one.
It's not bad.
But then I've got to buy the rest of the outfit. I did look, and I looked on it yesterday on eBay, and someone does 3D printed. And I was like, it came in at like 125 quid, but you had to, it was white, so you had to sand it,
paint it,
treat it, do all of that. I was like, well, that's fair, 125 quid, you get the full bodysuit. Then you just got to paint it. And I watch a lot of people on Instagram doing all that. I'm like, I can give that a go. Then I looked at the options and that was like a drop down.
Oh.
The 125 quid was not for the whole thing. So then I clicked the drop down and then selected the entire set.
Yeah.
And then it was like 480 quid for this white untreated stuff. And I was like, yeah, that I'm not doing that.
No.
So I want to buy the whole
thing. What do you get for £125?
It was like braces and a chest plate or something like that.
Oh.
So like to get the whole lot, including the helmet and everything. And bear in mind, it's just 3D printed plastic stuff. It seemed a lot.
Yeah. See, where your Oculus is, a helmet would look nice up here.
Mm-hmm.
Because every now and again, I do look at that and think of a Stormtrooper helmet.
Mm. Yeah. So, like, you know, I've got a cosplay outfit. I've got Captain America. And that was a really expensive one.
Mm.
That was
That's like proper movie
that's
spec.
It's a movie spec Captain America cosplay outfit. That was like 500 something quid. But it doesn't cover all scenarios.
No.
Because the thing is, like, because it's Captain America, you can still see your face. So when I had the long beard, for example, it didn't really work.
You were Viking Captain America.
I was Viking Captain America or Thor hybrid.
Yeah.
But Mando, I could get away with it because it kind of hangs quite low. So you can still have a beard.
And you're not allowed to take your helmet off anyway. So exactly. It's fine. Yeah.
So like that one would suit me probably better.
I'd love to be able to see a picture of you at your work. Helmet on.
Beard poking suit. Out. But also like the Mandalorian, Mandalorian with the big tanky guy with the massive gun.
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing. So I'd like to have that one as well as a cosplay outfit because he's obviously a big dude.
Yeah, that kiddie's dad, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ragnar.
That's it.
Ragnar's dad.
Ragnar Lothbrok.
Yeah. So that is good. I'm really enjoying that series. I am going to be a bit gutted when that finishes. Like, I felt like The Last of Us finished too quickly. Yeah, I think they rushed through it.
The game's only so short, isn't it? There's only, without really padding out with so much filler.
I think so. But like for me, like, you should have been really scared watching that. And there was far too many episodes where nothing happened.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think they could have probably made it a little bit longer and a bit scarier. And it was amazing, but it was more kind of story filler.
Yeah, there was filler in there, but I personally, I enjoyed it.
I loved it. Don't get me wrong, I loved it. But I think it could have done with 2 to 3 more episodes.
Did you do it week by week or did you binge it?
Week by week.
Week by week, okay.
I just felt like that needed a couple more episodes. Like, Mando keeps going.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's nicely paced. And it still feels like there's a lot to unwrap.
The episodes are slightly longer, aren't they?
Yeah. But it does feel like there's a lot to unwrap still with Mando. Whereas,
I know episodes are short. Mandalorian episodes are shorter than Last of Us. But a lot happens in that short amount of time.
Yeah. They're getting a lot of story
as
well as action. Whereas I felt like The Last of Us was less action, more story. So it just needed a bit more action to make you get really...
Because
it didn't really show enough for me of the infestation, the clickers, all of that.
Yeah, there was that. That was one criticism. Like,
character development, brilliant.
Oh, yeah. The characters, like, perfect. And the base story of the game nailed it.
You never quite got that sense of anxiety, apart from maybe the mall.
Yeah, the mall
scene.
Yeah,
you always felt something was coming.
Then there was the
when they're walking up to that house with the sniper.
Yeah, no. Was it before or after? There's the museum-y sort of room, isn't there? Where they're crawling up, they're going up the stairs, and they're trying to step over.
Yeah.
Sort of like the plants.
Yeah.
Like that was good.
Yeah.
There should have been more scenes like that.
I think so. Just enough to fill out another 2 episodes. I think it was just like it's over, and it's like, oh, I feel like there should have been a couple more episodes for me on that one.
Have you played the second game yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, you should know all that.
Second game's very long. So there should be a lot of development in that.
I think from, like, we said it on a previous episode that
they're going off in a different direction, aren't they?
Yeah.
So they're going to go off-piste again.
Yeah, but to be fair, if you end Last of Us, like, if you just go to season 2, then you're never going to get season 3 out of it.
No, that's true. And we won't say why.
No.
Just in case you haven't played it yet. But there we go. So that's TV?
That's TV, yeah. So, got a cool little keeping it Dadcast, because we are both, much as we try to ignore the fact.
My kids aren't asleep. I can hear them next
door. We are both dads, yeah. This is brilliant.
9:15.
So we've got a nice thing of how to tackle kids' bedtimes.
Well, I definitely can't give you the answer to that one. So this was from Amy. Little Amy
No,
Kins?
This wasn't from Amy. No? We've got another. I don't know where this. I think this is one that we just came up with when we were at my house the other day.
Okay.
I think. Because I've got Amy's IG questions.
Amy's next then.
Yes. Yes, it'll roll over quite nicely. We can do that.
Yeah, it's kids' bedtimes.
It's a kids' bedtimes. It's how to tackle kids' bedtimes and sort of any tips out there for parents that...
Rehypnol.
Right now, it sounds like you need that.
Yeah, so it's now 9:15. My kids, and it sounds like they're not even close to being asleep. We're going for a really tough patch at the moment with bedtimes for probably a couple of reasons. One of them can't be helped. So Daisy at the minute, as you know, has got really chronic tooth pain.
Yes.
We went to a pediatric dentist yesterday. She's been referred. She had some more x-rays yesterday. And it turns out she's more than likely going to have about 5 or 6 teeth out.
Ouchies.
Yeah, so she's going to have quite a few teeth out in the near future. But that obviously stops her from sleeping.
Yeah, I can imagine.
She weirdly though only impacts her at nighttime. So we don't know if some of it's psychosomatic and she kind of associates bedtime with tooth pain, or it's just that she's less distracted when she's lying down, so she starts thinking about the pain.
Yeah.
But she gets in quite a lot of pain at night. We obviously give her some Calpol. We've now leveled her up to 3 times a day.
Mm.
We don't want to keep medicating.
No.
You know, it's not good to just keep medicating forever. But do you know how long the waiting list was?
Go on.
So the dentist we went to yesterday said there's a year waiting list.
You can't be going for that for a year.
Yeah, I mean, if your little one's in pain,
yeah,
a year is just not practical. No. So they've said that they will put her on a kind of an advanced list, or that if there's any cancellations, they'll get her in. But yeah, she now needs to go to Dorchester Hospital
because. To put her under anaesthetic rather than have it done as under local.
Different probably when we were younger. They don't do that in dentist practices anymore.
No.
So they might anaesthetize or numb.
They
won't do a general. So basically they'll do a general at Dorchester Hospital, so they have a full team on standby. Mm. But it's kind of like what they... And I do get this. There's only one bad tooth. There's only one bad tooth in the mouth, but they end up taking out 5. Now, the reason for that is balancing the teeth.
Okay.
So what they say is if they take a tooth out on the left, on the lower left gum, which is the bad tooth, one that gives a lot of pain, they might need to take the one out above it.
Yeah.
Because the one above it doesn't have anything to push down on, so it could overextend.
Okay.
So the top tooth could come down and cause a problem with a bite.
Yeah.
But then what they say is you need to take out the one on the opposite equal side.
So it doesn't get lopsided.
So that it doesn't push her teeth round so that her front teeth become off center.
Yeah.
But then you need to do the one above it. So it's basically like Jenga for your teeth.
Oh god, yeah.
But then they said, oh, also while we're there, we might as well take out all the loose wobbly baby teeth because, you know, they're just in the way.
Mm.
So she's gonna come out like missing half her mouth.
Oh wow.
But they're all gonna do it in one day and she's not gonna stay overnight.
No.
They're gonna put her under, give her general, and then she's gonna come out of that feeling like she'd been beat up.
Yeah. That's a good feeling, you've been hit by a truck.
Yeah, absolutely. So that, going all the way back to bedtimes, is something that we can't control.
No.
So, you know, if you're an adult, you've had toothache before.
Mm. Toothache is one of the worst pains.
It sucks because it's one of those things that cuts through sleep. It cuts through medication. It just cuts through everything. Mm. Like when that tooth pain hits, it's like, yeah, it's like nerve raw. So Daisy's not sleeping very well, or she'll go to bed, wake up, or she'll just take ages to go to sleep. And then weirdly, Daisy gets really upset that she's gone to bed late, which is a weird concept.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's like, I've gone to bed too late. And then she'll worry about going to bed so late that she won't go to bed. So then it's midnight.
Can't sleep, yeah.
Yeah. So like last night, she was in bed with us at about 9:00, and we knew that she'd had medication earlier on, so she had to wait till 10.
Mm.
So we kept her in bed with us watching Mandalorian, basically. And then gave her some medication at 10. And then she kind of was up and down throughout the night. Poppy, however, doesn't have this issue. But she is scared.
Yeah.
She's younger. She's just scared.
Yeah. And I suppose because Daisy's sort of like disrupted and she can't sleep. And obviously if she's in and out a lot, that just...
Poppy doesn't like being in the room by herself.
Doesn't like being in the room by herself. But then that, it disturbs her at the same time. Yeah. So it's kind of like a...
So over the last week, probably 90% of the evenings, we've had 2 kids in with us, one kid in with us, one on the floor, one on the bed, basically next to Carly's side of the bed. Now we put what we call a happy napper. It's like a little sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough room in our bed for four of us. There is just not. It's, you know, we don't have a king size. We've got a double bed. So four of us is just, it's brutal. And then I sleep terribly, wake up in agony, like cramping knees and all sorts. And then I go to work and I'm tired. So my answer to the question is, I don't have a solution.
I need the answer.
I need the answer myself. Yeah. I don't have a solution for it. Yeah. I mean, we're 9 years in now.
I think, yeah, it's hard. Like, because long as I've known you, like, your kids have been, they've not liked sleep that much.
No.
It's always been, you know, most times, I mean, it's a slight...
Tell it like it is, Paul.
It's always been a bit of a battle. But I think it is with a lot of kids. Like, R2, like, they can be difficult. And a lot of the time, it's more Layla than it is Emily.
See, I would have put it the other way around, because I would have thought Layla gets tired.
Though, see, Emily, she'll be like, I'm not tired, I'm not going to bed. And you'll go to bed, she's like, no, I'm not going to bed. And the moment she's in her bed, it doesn't take her long to just go, I'm not sleeping, and then she's snoring.
Zonko, yeah.
So she's not too bad, but the last, was it a couple of nights ago, we put like an audiobook on for her. Yeah. It's just like bedtime stories on the iPad on YouTube or something. Put those on just on repeat for her, mm-hmm. or just on a little playlist, and I think that helped her a lot.
Yeah.
Layla sort of gets a bit like, it's almost like she's like, well, I'm 10, I don't want to. Oh no, she's 10? She's 11? She's 11. She's like, I don't want to, you know, I don't know the age of my own kid. She's 11.
It gets confusing at times. You've got two of them.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to go to bed. I'm older. I can stay up late. I want to stay up late. And we're like, no, you can't stay up late. Like, you got to go to bed as well. You got school too. Mm. And she'll just be up and down the stairs going, I can't sleep. And it's just a case of like, go to bed.
Yeah.
Go to bed. Go away.
Yeah. You say it a lot.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So we get a lot more so with her. And again, she started listening to David Attenborough documentaries on YouTube. Yeah. Nice. So because she's got a cabin sleeper and she's got a desk under her bed, she just put her iPad there and she's listening to stuff about flamingos or fennec foxes, like her favourite animals.
That's quite cool.
And then she just listened to that.
Yeah.
And then when I go up to bed, if I can still hear it, I'll just go and just switch them off. But the pair of them both do have like Galaxy projectors.
Yeah, yeah.
Which they both, when they shared a room, they both had that. And that was a big thing. It's like the adult version of a grow clock.
Yeah.
I mean, grow clocks, if you're out there and you haven't got one of those for your younger kid, I think grow clocks are brilliant.
Mm. Yeah, we've got, one of the things that we use is the Govee bedside light.
Oh, yes.
Which has, what do they call it? Sensory effects.
Noises, yeah.
And noises. So it's basically got noises that, so where there's a, the one that they like is like a kind of a speckly green. It's like, you know, it's like green, but it's like leaves.
Yeah.
It has that flickery motion in it. It's like a little egg. It's like an egg thing. But it also plays, the sound that they like is the jungle birds. It's like,
yeah.
And they find it quite relaxing. And I just put that in between their two bunk beds because they got back-to-back bunk beds.
They sleep better when we're out camping?
No.
No.
Because
it's not like an outside thing and they're like, we just need to be...
No, they're just a pain in the ass.
We're just feral and need to be outside.
Yeah, they are definitely feral. But I think the problem we have is they're both in one room. Mm. I think what you find with Yorkies, because maybe the age gap is bigger or slightly bigger. I don't know.
We're 11 similar. And 7, aren't we? So
yeah, similar. But maybe having a separate room. Like, I know Poppy wouldn't do very well, but I guarantee Daisy would sleep better in her own room.
Yeah.
Because she's older. She wants to be
more independent
in her own room and stuff. But I think Daisy would go to bed and sleep quite well. She puts her eye mask on. It's very cute. Puts her eye mask on. And then once she's got her eye mask on, she goes to sleep. If it wasn't for the toothache, she would go to bed. Yeah. She's not the problem one, it's Poppy, generally, the younger one that is problematic at bedtime. So bedtimes are tricky.
They are difficult.
I don't think you ever quite master it.
No.
You go through spells.
Yeah. You go through a good couple of weeks or months where they're brilliant.
Mm. Lots of bribing.
Yeah, then you go through times where...
Lots of threatening.
Yeah, you're just shouting them relentlessly. Mm. But it's hard, isn't it? Because sometimes you're like, right, I'll keep them up so they're extra tired.
Yep.
Then they're too tired. And like you say, they're too tired to sleep. And it's painful.
Yeah, and then other times you think, they've gone to bed really late tonight, they can have a lie-in.
Yeah.
And then they don't.
I think, like, when they struggle, I think if you can get something that plays a little bit of background noise or gives off a little bit of light, that they can sort of like the Galaxy projectors, they've got like nice little patterns they can look at, or like an audio book that they can hear. I think the key is don't let them be anywhere near the iPad.
Yeah.
Or whatever they're listening to. So then they can't interfere with it.
Yeah.
They can't see it and they can't interfere with it. Then they have to leave it.
Yeah. See, we like audio podcasts. We do it on Alexa and we listen to Harry Potter most nights. But Daisy would listen to podcasts, but Poppy doesn't like it. She just doesn't like, she gets either scared or she just doesn't like people talking.
Mm.
So it's we just battle with it every night. I think every night is a struggle. So
I suppose that is hard when you've got two different,
very different personalities, are two. But I guess that's the thing, you know, with any parents listening, is there's no perfect parent. There's no one that's nailed it. There's no one that's nailed bedtime, brushing teeth, eating dinner, getting dressed.
Mm.
We all struggle.
Yeah,
I struggle to do all of those things. And if you don't struggle with this, I don't like you. You can't listen to my podcast.
If you're sat there going, well, my kid's perfect, my kid doesn't do this, you're listening to the wrong show.
Or you're lying.
Or you're grossly lying to yourself.
Stop lying to yourself. You're a bad parent.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that is, it's really hard. Bedtimes are hard. So
they are difficult.
If you listen to this as a parent, then just take it from us that, you know, I think everyone's in the same boat. Bedtimes are difficult. They change monthly.
Mm.
So you have a good month and a bad month. When it's a good month, take advantage of it fully.
Yeah.
Because the bad month is coming.
Like I say, you obviously, poor Daisy's going through a bad spell at the moment.
Yeah.
That's just not going to work in your favour because it's just...
No, like I said, we've leveled up. After the visit yesterday, we've leveled up to medicating her three times a day, plus on top of paracetamol, doing the same with ibuprofen.
Mm.
So she's on a lot of meds and I just hope that they can get her in and sort it out sooner rather than later because I don't like medicating too much.
Just put some cat ears on her, take her down to the vets.
Yeah. You probably get seen quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carly could do it for her.
Yeah, get Carly to take her to work.
You know, nothing a hammer can't sort.
Yeah. Bit of ketamine and
that's it. Bit of ket. So there we go. That's our advice. That's our terrible advice on bedtimes.
I mean, no, I think we've not done too badly. It's just, I think if you can find something to sort of, distraction is the best action.
Yeah.
There we go. A bit of a rhyme at the end there.
Yeah.
So onto IG questions, mm-hmm. moving on swiftly.
Mm-hmm.
Back to being with kids. Mm-hmm. So our lovely friend Amy.
Yep.
Little
Amy Kins.
One of the best women we know on Instagram.
Yep.
Dirty Brilliant.
As well.
And a recent parent.
Esme.
So Esme, that's it. I was literally trying to remember the name.
I gotcha.
Sorry. Thank you, mate. She came up with the question of games that are good to play with your kids. And also, this could be a bit of a battle here.
Mm-hmm.
Which are our best retro consoles?
Okay, so starting off with kids.
Games to play that you think are best to play with your children. Let's assume,
because obviously our kids are of a certain age.
Yes.
So there are games that you can play with your kids when they're very young,
mm-hmm.
and then games you can play now, and probably games you can play when they're teenagers.
Yeah, like when they're very young. When Layla was like 3 months old, she doesn't remember it, but she was up at like 3 a.m. drinking milk and playing GTA 5.
Nice.
She doesn't know it.
That doesn't explain the swearing.
Yeah.
But I would say like probably the sweet spot probably in my experience is coming into Roblox and into Minecraft.
Bloody Roblox.
So I think those two for me are the games where, in fairness, maybe not so much Roblox, but definitely Minecraft is the first game that we... So we're talking about games that we can play together.
Yeah, yeah.
So games that we can play together, definitely Minecraft. Love building houses, love building communities, adventure places. Built
this house on Minecraft of your
We built our you? Very house together on
and
Minecraft.
And you've done Elsa's castle?
We've done our own version of Elsa's castle on top of a mountain with a lava waterfall. Very cool. And a roller coaster.
Nice.
We've built multiple houses.
That's true to the story. I've seen it.
Exactly. Yeah. We built multiple houses. We built a lakeside house. We've built a Viking ship. We've done all sorts. And it is good. The thing is, I've got to be in the mood for it. Because the thing is, what happens is my perfectionist kicks in. So then I'm like, no, it's wrong.
Those also, then there's that dexterity.
Daddy will do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go off and build something else. So we built the most recent one that we built together was the Weasley house.
Oh, nice.
From Harry Potter. So I went onto YouTube and Daisy was like, we're going to be the Weasley house. I was like, perfect. Let me do it.
You go away. Come back in an hour.
Just go off and build something else. If you want the Weasley house, I'll do it. Because it's one of those where you have to follow instructions. So it's like play, pause.
Yeah, see, Layla's been doing that on her own with a couple of these. Like
this comes back
houses.
To the Lego thing.
Yeah.
Where if you get it a bit wrong at the beginning, it doesn't work at the end.
The TNT comes out, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, right, build 20 up here, 10 wide, then build 7 up, then build this floor, this material, that way, left, right, up, seven, you know, and you really got to pay attention to it. So I think what the problem is, Daisy doesn't pause it quick enough and then basically goes ad lib.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I'm like, that's
next
not...
thing, you've got a floor, one wall and a roof.
Yeah, we built like a Miami house, which is very angular, white.
Or very like contemporary architecture.
Contemporary architecture, pool, all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's wrong. Undo. So the perfectionist in me in Minecraft tends to take over.
Yeah. So how do you normally do it? Do you normally do it with like you all share one screen, or they you all in different worlds?
No. So basically, I have created three different logins for Minecraft. So if we're playing in this room, we've only got two computers. So generally, it'll be me and Daisy. Poppy will be off doing something else, but I'll be on the one where you're sat.
Yeah.
Daisy will be on this one, and we'll both be building together. In theory, Poppy could go on her laptop upstairs, but she doesn't like to sit by herself. So she might join me in building. But generally, yeah, it's normally me and Daisy that would be in this room building stuff together in Minecraft. And then what I'll do is I'll jump off once it's built and let Poppy play as me.
They just do what they want.
And do what they want, basically, so then they can go off and play it. But yeah, we've got a world that's got quite a lot of buildings in, whether it's movie replicas, just our own fun thing that we've built. And Minecraft is like really good to a point. Like, there's part of me that wishes Minecraft was maybe more architectural, smaller blocks, curves, proper furniture.
Yeah, or you could put a bit block like the down, Sims. But you could like hack it off into a curve.
Yeah. You know, I wish there was something in between The Sims and Minecraft, which was still sandbox blocks, but they also had built-in furniture that had some curves. You could make something look like a real object, like... You know, you're limited when you're talking about beds and sofas. It all looks a bit crap.
Yeah.
But the buildings from outside pass, but they're obviously you need to do them to scale. So the buildings are much bigger than they should be to make them look realistic.
Yeah.
To build a triangle, an arch, all that sort of stuff. You can do very big.
Yeah.
So I would almost like a Minecraft where the blocks are smaller. So you can build curves.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. There's probably some take
probably
out
is a
on
mod.
It. Yeah.
Probably a mod that you can get for that. But yeah, I would say Minecraft has to be the number one. It's very accessible. You can play it on everything.
Literally everything. It's become like the new Skyrim. You can play it on your bloody Apple Watch.
Literally play it on everything. So I think Minecraft... Roblox is very good for kids, though, because there is a lot of educational stuff on there. But the thing I love about those types of games and playing with them is their dexterity with the mouse and keyboard. Like, my two are very good with a mouse and keyboard. I couldn't play with a mouse and keyboard until I was an adult. And even then, probably until a much later adult.
Yeah, see, Emily plays more mouse and keyboard for Roblox. Mm. Layla's all about the iPad. Mm. I can't get on playing that.
I can't get on the iPad
and
those sort of games.
No. But yeah, so like...
Virtual joystick. Don't like it.
Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? Mm. It's bloody horrible. But it's like games that I've played with my two that we quite like is... me and Layla used to play a lot of Ratchet & Clank.
Yep.
She likes Ratchet & Clank. So she was quite good at that. She was getting quite well. She, I think she finished it on PS4.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, you know, obviously she was a bit older. She's probably, I don't know, she might have been about six or seven when she was doing it. So but she did well. She enjoyed that. We like playing that. Obviously Minecraft, we played Minecraft together.
Mario Kart standard.
Everyone loves a bit of Mario Kart.
You know what else was really good?
Animal Crossing.
Kirby.
Oh, you played Kirby with the
kids. Kirby was really good. Like, the girls absolutely loved that game, and it was easy enough to play, but the effects of Kirby and the kind of specials that he had were really fun.
Yeah.
And even I enjoyed that. So that's the first game that we've all sat down as a story game and finished it together.
Yeah.
That was really good. But...
See, as a curveball, Emily's... So, obviously, Emily's seven... Her favourite game to play with me.
Don't say GTA 5.
No.
Warzone.
No. The Forest? No. She really loves to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Nice.
She absolutely adores
it. That's harmless fun.
Yeah, it's harmless fun.
Great soundtrack.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not doing too bad at it, but whenever she's like, oh, I'm going to play the skating game, I'm like, yeah, rags, let's do it.
Yeah. Give it time.
Yeah. She does. She really enjoys it. She does free modes for now. But
yeah.
Yeah, I thought that's...
The other one's got to be Just Dance.
Just Dance, yeah.
But then we wouldn't play it together because I'm not dancing to that stuff. But it's fun to watch
I would dance to it. I'm quite...
Well, it depends how much I've drunk, I guess. But yeah,
Animal Crossing, the girls also, they're massive Animal Crossing fans.
Yeah, so we bought Animal Crossing, but also, what's the other one? The farm one.
Stardew Valley. Yeah, see, I don't think the kids haven't done that one yet.
Bought it.
Too much for
bored.
Them. I mean, I really I love Stardew Valley, but it's a long game.
It's a long game.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
For the long run.
Maybe they take after me with that. Like, I'm like, oh, this is so laborious. It's very boring. And even with Animal, the other one, the one you just said.
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing, that's yeah. it.
You see, the thing with those games is they are real time.
Yeah, and I don't like the fact that you have to be, like, there's a lot of online aspect to it. So to progress, you need to have all that sort of online-y vibe. Just make the game offline. Just make it a story game like a Zelda.
Yeah, but no, I think it was a brilliant question.
It's a good question.
Coming up towards the end, we've got 10 minutes.
Yes.
Before we exceed our limit. But yeah. No, I think there are a lot of games out there nowadays that are accessible for kids of all ages. I mean, obviously Minecraft and Roblox being the flagships there. But I really do enjoy playing games with the kids. I wish I'd play more, but they just don't seem too...
Well, like we said, Forest scares them, you know. Yeah. So
Resident Evil, they weren't a fan of that.
Yeah, no.
Especially in VR.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Although Daisy's got into VR.
Has she?
Yeah, she really loves VR. She played VR tonight, and there's a few free games that she can play, which are, you know, more like the built-in stuff with Meta, but they're really fun.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And she's getting really good with that sort of stuff. So yeah, she enjoys the VR and gets on it every now and again. But yeah, Roblox and Minecraft are by far their favourite two. Other than that, it's just watching YouTube.
Oh yeah, Dash Tag. Obviously, the girls like Dash Tag on the mobiles.
Yep, which is fun, good fun.
Which I've played Dash Tag with all the kids.
It's addictive.
It's quite good fun. Mm. And then what's the other one? Oh, Toca Boca.
Toca Boca. Also, my kids love it. But then I think they've got that from Layla. And that's expensive.
It's a money pit.
It's a money pit. It's definitely very expensive. So iPad games can be very expensive because you're always buying add-ons. Roblox is very similar. Minecraft, not so much.
No.
Yes, you can buy worlds and stuff, but there's also a lot of free worlds, which are good enough. But it's more about the building experience. Whereas, Robux, you just constantly sold outfits and all sorts.
I did notice that Amazon Prime Gaming occasionally has a couple of like skins for Roblox for free.
Really?
So I kind of...
But not very often.
No, but they're normally like a one-time redeem. So I'm like, right, you had it last month. Who's having it this month?
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a...
Battle.
Got to share it,
Battle going on. Nice.
So second part of that question.
Go on, then.
What's your favourite retro console?
Retro console. Okay, so there...
PS5.
Obviously, being an older person, retro can mean very old. But I'm going to go for what I think most people now of a younger generation would see as a retro console. I'm going to go with the Dreamcast.
Dreamcast,
Sega.
Yeah. I mean, that is getting on in age now.
It's not a young console. It's probably a similar era to a PS2.
Yeah.
I think it was PS2 era. So it's not that old, but equally the PS2 was a long time ago.
It's a long time ago.
So for me, the Sega Dreamcast, I think when that came out, it was one of the few consoles which made me go, wow. Hmm. Like the games on that, you know, Crazy Taxi just seemed so much graphically better than everything else.
Oh, it was ahead of its time. So much so, it was a detriment to itself.
I think so, but also I think it was the fact that it had a bit of Nintendo syndrome where it didn't support third-party developers enough.
It was like, we're Sega and Sega only.
Exactly, basically. But I don't think they had the scope of Nintendo or the different KPIs or whatever you want to call it to pull that off. No. Like, I remember playing Shenmue on there, which to this date is probably one of my favorite games for like reality.
Yeah.
Like you woke up, you had your breakfast, you got a vending machine drink on the way to work. You went to work, you put in a shift in your fork truck. You got in a fight at work. You finish work, you go and have your dinner. You then go home, you sleep, you start again. It was one of those games that felt very immersive, like a GTA, but more realistic.
Yeah.
And there was something on there called the 100-man battle, which I remember to this day was just like the ultimate challenge. And you got in this fight in the docks and just more and more of this gang just kept coming in until it was a 100-man battle.
Oh, wow.
And you had to kind of, it was very much that time your button combos to like block, then do a counterattack, and you had to just perfect that. But the whole thing just felt very authentic. It was very well scripted. There was like real-time action. So you'd walk down a place and then something would happen. You'd have to press A to stop this woman from falling over or to catch this cat or pick up this apple, whatever.
Yeah.
And it just felt like it was very immersive.
Yeah, yeah.
But then at the same time, you jump on your little forklift truck and to put in a shift at work and you get paid at the end of it. And with that money that you earn, you'd go off and buy clothes, food, whatever.
Okay.
So that felt really good. So the Dreamcast for me at that point was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You could also add a keyboard.
Yeah, I remember there being a keyboard for
it. Like a Tamagotchi as well. So you had the controller, you put in your little Tamagotchi style
thing. Yeah, put a little thing at the top. Yeah,
so your memory card, but it also had an LCD screen.
Yeah, that's it.
But then you had the keyboard, and that's the first game I remember. I was playing Phantasy Star Online with my friend Ryan, and we would be type. So you could assign your F keys to be prompts within Phantasy Star Online.
Mm.
So we'd set up loads of like pretty risky stuff. So someone would walk in a room and stuff. You press F1 and it would say this, F2, like you want to trade, or F3, let's go battle, or F4, FU, yeah. You know, whatever. But it was just like, wow. Like,
yeah, this is crazy, like, isn't it?
It was just like such a leap up from the PS1.
Like keyboard on a console, just in general.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's possible nowadays, yeah, but it's still quite wild.
Yeah, but also our internet was bad in those days. Mm. This was like, you know, post-dial-up.
Yeah.
You know, it was internet, but barely.
The early conception of broadband.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, no, the Dreamcast is a good choice. It is a throwback console nowadays.
I think it has to be a throwback. Yeah. It doesn't feel that old, but to the people that are much younger than me, it probably, yeah, they didn't even have one.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think, if it was PlayStation 2, I was probably like 13-ish when it came out.
I mean, if you're going to throw, it needs to be older to be a retro one, then it's going to have to be the Mega Drive.
Yeah.
Sega Mega Drive. Sega again.
Yeah, Sega again. So yeah, Sega are, they mean they are the retro console.
I was always Sega
they?
Over Nintendo.
Mm.
Controversial.
Yeah, see, growing up, I used to have an old Sega Master System. Yeah. I was quite young. I was only like 6, 7 when I had that, so I don't really remember much of it. So for me, it would probably be the N64.
Nice.
I had friends who had Sega Saturns and stuff.
I never had the N64.
And I didn't really do much on Sega Saturn or anything like that.
Yeah.
I remember playing Earthworm Jim on it. I remember that being a game.
Alex Kidd, Wonder Boy, Monster Land was one of my favourites.
Mm.
That was on Mega Drive.
But for me, it would be the Nintendo 64. I've always loved Nintendo. If I weren't going for that sort of console, I'd be going like Game Boy, like OG Game Boy or Game Boy Color.
I think that's where I probably missed out on the Nintendo generation, because I had the family system. So that was the pre-Nintendo Nintendo.
Yeah,
was
yeah.
the family system. I had the family system in South Africa, and I remember games like tennis, you know, and King Kong, and you know, all those, or Donkey Kong, and all of those. But then I went Sega when I came back to the UK and did the Mega Drive and then the Dreamcast. And I think I just missed that Nintendo bandwagon at the time.
Yeah.
And I think that dictates where you went later in life. So I went more Sega, Sony, Xbox. Whereas other people probably went family system, Nintendo, N64, and then went through the Game Boy and all of those franchises.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't go that route.
No.
So for me, that's why I have such a detachment for things like the Mario franchises. I don't like them.
Yeah, because
I never have.
No, you didn't really grow up.
I didn't grow up playing them. I never really grafted with Mario. It wasn't my thing. Whereas Alex Kidd, Wonder Boy, Monster Land, brilliant. That was my version of probably Mario. But then coming up, I was always pushing the more realistic games, like, you know, the Shenmues and all those sort of things, and, you know, GTA, and I've always probably been pulled more towards that than the fantasy sort of things until Breath of the Wild.
And then you were straight into Nintendo.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
And I can't
that was
wait
your
for the
first
one.
Zelda game as well, wasn't
first
it?
First Zelda game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like we said before, like you've been back and played the other Zeldas.
Didn't like them.
Completely different.
I hate top-down. I think that's why I
struggle. Top-down Zelda's hard, but like Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, they're still third person, but they're it's like a static camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I used to play. So yeah, Nintendo 64 was my favourite retro growing up.
Yeah.
And that was all games like Banjo-Kazooie, GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Star Wars Pod Racing was the jam.
Yeah. What was the racing game that was like...
Wipeout.
Wipeout was
banging.
Mega. Because that was a arcade to console conversion.
Yeah, I think Wipeout, was that Nintendo?
I don't know if it was.
I think it was PlayStation.
Was it PlayStation?
Yeah.
I think it was PlayStation. Yeah. PlayStation 1, maybe.
PlayStation 1. I mean, if that could go into a class of retro consoles, the PS1, that was my first ever, like...
Well, that's the first console I ever bought myself.
You might find it hard to believe, but the PS1 was my first PlayStation.
Wow, there we go. It's the first thing I ever bought myself.
Yeah. Was it the small round one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there was the full size.
The full size square.
Full size one. So I remember I was up in Maidenhead and I'd just come back from South Africa. I was working as a electrician's apprentice, labourer, whatever you want to call it. And I was earning like £100 a week. And I saved up, and that was the first thing I bought myself, with Metal Gear Solid.
Amazing.
And that was an incredible... I must have finished that game about 35 times.
Yeah.
Speed racing it, trying to do it in different ways, you know, unlocking achievements, yes, whatever.
Yes, PS1 was great.
It was a really good console. I'm trying to think of like other games I used to play on that, but that's the only one that really jumps out at me. I'm sure there was many others, but it was all about Metal Gear Solid 1.
Driver was incredible. Driver was a game.
Again,
I mean...
Sound, graphics. Yeah,
this, we could do like a whole episode just on...
PS1 games.
I think we do next week. We just go for a whole episode.
Best PS1 games.
Best PS1 games.
Driver was great.
Driver was amazing.
Way ahead of its time. But I wouldn't want to play it now. I bet it would look crap. Because Driver 2 was good as well. Even Driver 3, I think I played. Mm. But it was a really good game. I'm sure that, like you said, I'm sure there are loads that I'm forgetting.
Yeah, because I'm pretty confident that if we were to compare games we used to play on PS1 or PS2 maybe growing up, I bet that there's a stark difference between the pair of us.
I bet. Yeah,
I think our taste back then was so different.
Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2. 2 was amazing. I went back and played it and I couldn't do the controls. It was awful. Like, it was so non-intuitive.
Yeah.
But at the time, I remember it being the most realistic game I've ever played.
Metal Gear has always been a little bit weird with the controls. Because even if you go back and play Phantom Pain now, like, the buttons just...
don't really work. No. Menus.
They make sense for the game.
Yeah.
But it takes quite a while to... sort of get yourself trained back into that mindset and muscle memory.
It's like the old equivalent of Horizon Zero Dawn, where if you put that game down for more than a day,
you don't
completely
know how to
forget all of the controls.
Yeah, you might as well just hold the controller upside down.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was great.
I think it's this beer. I'm drinking this beer and it's going straight
up your nose.
Straight on my nose. It's that fruitiness. Fizzy.
I mean, you've done better than I have. You've nearly finished. I've got quarter of it left.
It's been a hard drink.
It has been a hard drink.
This week.
I would like to say thank you to Amy for our questions. I think they were as a great two-parter.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So if you don't already, follow Amy on Instagram.
Little Amy Kins. Give her a tag in the post. I think we have to give a shout-out to Jay, Retron Boy.
Retron Boy, yeah.
So this week, if you haven't been following, we have actually launched a GoFundMe page to help Jay with some equipment to help him get around, basically. Yeah. We have raised enough money so far, or just about, to basically buy him a pimped-up mobility scooter of his choice. Of course, he's gone for Stormtrooper White.
Stormtrooper White.
Of course, he's gone for the one that's out of stock. And of course, he's gone for the one that has taken a while to get in. But we have basically pre-ordered it.
Awesome.
Which is amazing. So thank you everyone that has helped
in
getting that level of donations. And in particular, thank you to Luke from Raffled Up.
Luke is the man.
A massive donation in for that to basically smash us right over our target.
Yeah.
Our initial target, which we've now raised up because we want to go for a better model. So I think scooters, mobility scooters started from about £800.
Yeah.
I think the one we're looking at now is about £1,700.
Yeah, yeah.
But it has a better turning circle and better batteries and just better in general.
Hydraulics, neon lights.
Neon lights, white Stormtrooper. Yeah.
If you ever grew up playing Midnight Club, that's what it's going to look
basically
like.
Basically, Jay is a Midnight Club, basically. if you haven't seen it yet in our stories, we probably will post a bit more, but there is a GoFundMe page up for that. If you want any more details, then just DM us and we'll send you the links. But shout out to you, Jay. We love you, mate.
We do love you.
And we hope we can make you as comfortable as possible and support you where we can. So there we go. Royalty family. It's a poignant way to end. And we will get a few more topics in for 2 weeks' time.
2 weeks' time, we're just going to talk PlayStation. That's it.
PlayStation episode.
It's episode of PlayStation.
We're not sponsored by PlayStation. If you're listening to this PlayStation,
we will be by the end of the episode.
I think you should be sending us some PlayStation gifts.
Cool.
And it's your turn for the drink next time. See if you can beat that bad boy.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard one to beat.
It's a hard one to beat. No doubt it'll be strong.
Oh, I'm going to have to.
On form.
I'm going to get non-alcoholic just to throw a curveball.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Don't do that on a Friday.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Appreciate you all. Love you.
Thank you. What's the phrase for Taiwan?
I don't know how to say goodbye. I know how to say hello.
We'll say hello again.
Ni hao.
Ni hao. We'll speak to you later, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.